May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I received the invitation to preach today and read the gospel passage I was given, I had a feeling of being shortchanged. John 20, verses 1 to 10, it said, the story of the empty tomb. Was that all? It's Easter Sunday morning, the most glorious day in the year. And no doubt, like me, you expect to hear stories about how the risen Jesus was seen by his followers. And all I was being offered was a story about an empty tomb. Well, clearly Father Stephen shared my reaction, for as you will have noticed, we heard not only the account of the empty tomb, but the story of how Mary met Jesus in the garden. But the fact that the lectionary offers us only the first of these and considers it to be sufficient set me thinking about the two different kinds of Easter story that we find in the Gospels. The first story has just three characters. Mary, who finds that the stone has been removed and the tomb left unsealed, and who concludes in dismay that Jesus' body must have been removed. Peter, who typically blunders into the tomb and scratches his head in bewilderment. And the so-called beloved disciple, who sees the burial clothes lying where they would have done if Jesus' body had still been there, and who believed. And that's all we're given. No angels to tell us what had happened, no glimpse of Jesus himself, nothing but an empty grave and the faith of the beloved disciple. Mark's gospel is even more bleak, since the only scene he gives us describes how women came to the tomb only to find the stone rolled away. True, Mark describes a young man, presumably an angel, who tells the women that Jesus has been raised and that they must pass on the news to his disciples. But the women are scared stiff and take to their heels in terror. And that's where Mark's original account ended, though others later felt the need to add more. We all want more than the empty tomb, or we think we do. We want to see Jesus, or at least to hear how others saw him. And our second story, telling us how Mary Magdalene met Jesus, offers us just that. But I wonder whether we need to be cautious. For when we read stories like this, there is a temptation for us to think, as perhaps the first followers of Jesus were tempted to think, that's all right then, everything's back to normal. The great disaster of Good Friday has been reversed. Jesus has been returned to us, and we can go back to our lives with him as they were. But of course, things were no longer normal, and they couldn't just pick up their lives where they had been before Holy Week. Everything had changed. The question on everyone's lips at present seems to be, when will we get back to normal? In other words, when can we get on with living our lives as we did before the pandemic and forget all about hand washing and face masks and social distancing? But the most realistic answer is never. Things will never be what they were before. For some families, that is because they have lost loved ones and the gaps cannot be filled. For others, there are lasting health issues because of long COVID or missed medical appointments or mental health troubles. Even the landscape has changed. Some shops and businesses have closed and will never reopen. We will not simply wake up one day like Sleeping Beauty and carry on where we left off. COVID has left lasting scars. But it has also changed the way that many people think and behave. It seems probable that in future, far more people will work from home, so there will be less commuting. And when our lives are not dominated by Zoom, we have discovered that it does have benefits, a way of connecting with others without travelling. Good things have come out of the pandemic. The self-sacrifice of medical workers, the kindness of neighbours, the concern for the vulnerable. The old normal was anything but perfect. Traumas of any kind offer the possibility of beginning again. And nowhere is that more true than with the resurrection of Jesus. John's story of the empty tomb reminds us that the old normal has gone. They have taken the Lord away, cried Mary. And the first lesson she has to learn is that from now on she is going to have to do without the physical Jesus she has known and loved. And that is brought home to her when she sees Jesus but fails to recognize him. Perhaps Mary didn't recognize Jesus because she didn't expect to see him. But other resurrection stories confirm that something about him had changed. We probably all had the experience during this past year of failing to recognize people whose faces are obscured by masks. Our interaction with those we meet is different, but underneath, the person is the same. Jesus too is the same, but he has also changed. When Mary does recognize Jesus, her natural reaction is to give him a hug. We know how she feels. She tries to cling to him and is rebuked, for she is living in the past. In future, Jesus' followers would not be able to experience him physically. His resurrection is not a return to normality as Mary has known it. The earthly Jesus has indeed been taken away. The old normal has gone, and something new is taking place. And the new thing is the new way in which Jesus' followers are going to relate to him. No longer are they going to know him in a physical way, but in a spiritual one. For a brief while, John tells us, some of them did see him, talk to him face to face, even touch him. But that is an experience which soon ceases, because Jesus has been set free from the limitations of time and place. Jesus points Mary to his coming ascension when she will cling to him in a new way. From now on, then, Christian disciples knew Jesus, not in the old physical way, for that came to an end when his body was placed in the tomb. And the story of the empty tomb speaks to our situation, because we have had no opportunity to experience Jesus in a physical way. The beloved disciple entered the tomb, saw that Jesus' body had gone, and realized that he had been raised. And like him, we are being challenged to believe. The earthly Jesus had gone, and yet Jesus was very much alive. The beloved disciple did not need to see Jesus in order to believe. Unlike Thomas later in the chapter, who demanded to see Jesus and is told that those who have not seen him and yet believe are those who are truly blessed. The empty tomb symbolizes a new spiritual relationship, one which does not rely on physical contact. And that means a new beginning, not just for the way in which his followers related to him, but for their lives. Jesus had challenged his disciples to follow him and to die with him. And in the reading from the epistle, we heard the Colossians being reminded that as his followers, they had died with Christ and had been raised with him. And that meant that it was not Jesus alone who had been transformed, but his followers as well. From now on, their relationship with him was far more intimate than it had been when they had seen him and talked with him and touched him physically. From now on, those who follow him have died with Christ, and their lives are hidden with Christ in God. No wonder their lives are transformed. No wonder they have turned their backs on evil and greed and embraced the new life that is offered to them in Christ. John offers us two very different stories, and both, in their different ways, proclaim the resurrection. They both focus our minds on the realization that the Easter story is the beginning of something new. The Jesus who could be seen and touched has gone. And we do not need to rely on accounts of how his disciples briefly saw the risen Christ in order to know him for ourselves. And when we know him, when we experience him in our lives, then those lives will be transformed. Alleluia.